If you'd like to turn your Bibles to 1 Peter chapter 3, we're going to look at verses 1 to 7. We're continuing our series in the book of 1 Peter, looking at how we should live as Christians in the world on our way to heaven. 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 1 to 7. Likewise, wives, be subject to your own husbands, so that even if some do not obey the word, they may be won without a word by the conduct of their wives, when they see your respectful and pure conduct. Do not let your adorning be external, the braiding of hair, the wearing of gold, or the putting on of clothing, but let your adorning be the hidden person of the heart, with the imperishable beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which in God's sight is very precious. For this is how the holy women who hoped in God used to adorn themselves by submitting to their husbands, as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord. And you are her children if you do good and do not fear anything that is frightening. Likewise, husbands, live with your wives in an understanding way, showing honor to the woman as the weaker vessel, since they are heirs with you of the grace of life, so that your prayers may not be hindered. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Well, our passage this morning is all about marriage, gender roles, submission, and honour. And let's be honest, it is quite shocking to our 21st century Manchester ears. And so as we look at this passage, I do feel a little bit like the mountain climber who is on the edge of a precipice where one wrong move and it could be lethal for me. So please go easy on me as we look at this passage. I am keen to be faithful to the Bible. One of the reasons we preach passage by passage through the Bible is so that when we come to these sorts of passages, we can't duck out of them. I can give them to the curate, but he's gone and had a baby. So it is controversial. It is shocking. And we need to acknowledge that. But as we acknowledge that, I do want to say something else. As we look at this passage on men and women's roles in marriage, I want us to bear in mind something about the Christian faith generally. Christianity and the Bible as we read it can appear conservative or it can appear liberal depending on the culture in which we live. If you are living in a traditional, conservative part of the world, then Christianity at times appears really subversive. It appears really radical because it says the state doesn't tell you what's right and wrong. Family doesn't tell you what's right and wrong. God does. But in our more progressive, liberal East Manchester culture, Christianity can appear quite reactionary and conservative because it says God defines what's right and wrong, not us, not the individual. Now, Christianity isn't actually conservative and traditional. It's not liberal and radical. It's from God. And so Christianity subverts every culture in which it comes into. It challenges every society, and that includes our own. So please bear that in mind as we look at this passage. Remember the ears with which you are hearing what is said. Now, this is all about marriage, and I'm aware that many of you here are not married, are singles. Again, it is good for us to look at every passage of the Scripture, even if there isn't a specific relevance for you in this moment. It might be relevant for you in the future. it is relevant because it's relevant for everyone else, in all the people in the church. And as you are aware of how marriages should be done, that is good for you as well. There are also some principles which, as a single person, you can take and use. So all that is by way of introduction. I want to be faithful to what this passage says about marriage, and I want to commend it to you as a beautiful thing. We're going to look at three beautiful things this morning. I want us to see a beautiful pattern, a beautiful purpose, and a beautiful person. Beautiful pattern, a beautiful purpose, and a beautiful person. First of all, a beautiful pattern. The context of this passage is submission in general, especially submission when you are treated badly. And so last week we looked at the need to submit to civil government, even if you don't like the Prime Minister or agree with what he said about COVID. He is the Prime Minister. It is the government. You should submit to your boss, even if he's not a good one. And here we're told about submitting in marriage. You see, as Christians, when you see God's love for you, when you see what God has done to serve you, then in whatever context you find yourself, whether it is in the context of the state, whether it's the context of a job, whether it's the context of family and marriage, you will want to love and serve others. That's the context in which this passage is set. And here we're told husbands and wives are to serve and love one another, but they're to do that differently. And Peter begins with wives and spends longer talking about them, probably because in the context of the first century and the context of where, who he's writing to, they're more likely to be under authority and mistreated as a result. Wives, Peter says, be subject or submit to your own husbands. Husbands, verse 7, live with your wives in an understanding way. What does that mean? Well, it means that wives are to grant leadership in their marriage to their husbands. Leadership is not something taken by a husband. It shouldn't be. Leadership is something that's granted and given by the wife. And wives are to do it, whether their husbands are good or bad, whether they're Christian or not Christian. Now, it doesn't mean you have to be a doormat, and it doesn't mean that you're to allow your husband to abuse you. Abuse is wrong. Always wrong. Husbands, well, they're to live with their wives in an understanding way. That means, husbands, you're to know your wife. You're to study your wife. You're to treat her well. You're to respect her and care for her. You're to draw her out. You're to sacrifice your priorities and preferences for hers, because you understand what she likes and what she doesn't like, what makes her tick. There's no room here for a husband to be controlling or manipulative or domineering. And there should never, ever, ever be any abuse from Christian husbands to their wives. There shouldn't be any room for mistreatment, either physically or verbally. Now, as I say this, I'm not saying that men and women are unequal. I'm not saying exactly how a husband should understand his wife, or how a wife should submit, and how that works out in their relationship. But what I am saying is that husbands and wives are to love and to serve each other and to outdo one another as they do that. Jill and I have been married for 18 years this year, and I just want to say that when we work at doing this, it is good for our marriage. When we work at this dynamic between the two of us, our marriage is healthy. And when we don't, well, we then start having problems. And this doesn't come naturally to us. You know, I must be honest as a husband. There are times when when Jill says to me, can I just tell you about something really important? I want you to ask me about it on a regular basis. And I listen. 3 weeks later, I say to her, Jill, a while ago, you said that there was something that you wanted me to ask you about, and I haven't a clue. What did you say? You know, at those kind of times, she does not feel loved and cared for and understood and drawn out. It doesn't come naturally to me as a husband. And those of you who know Jill, well, I'll let Jill explain what comes naturally to her for herself. But it doesn't come naturally to us. And yet, when we work at this, our marriage is healthy and works well. I want to commend it to you. It is shocking to our East Manchester ears. I was talking to a friend a couple of years ago, and this is one of the things that she had a real beef with when it comes to Christianity. She said, the thing I don't get and I don't really like is the whole thing about relationships. And she went on, and I was sitting next to her, and she said, it's just awful the way the Bible talks about relationships. And I just said to her, because the world's got it right, hasn't it? I want to commend this as an alternative way to do relationships, and one which we have found works well. It's a beautiful pattern. But God has got beautiful purposes for this pattern. Let me just give some of the reasons why here in Peter says wives should submit and husbands should understand their wives. Let me give you three reasons why Peter says wives should submit here. First of all, because it commends Christianity. That's what Peter says in verses 1 and 2. Be subject or submit to your own husbands, wives, so that even if some do not obey the word, they may be won without a word by the conduct of their wives. The context is this. Some women had become Christians and become part of the church. Their husbands, some of them, had husbands who hadn't become Christians. And in that culture and that day, it was expected that a wife would follow the customs and the religion of their husband, just as it is the case in most parts of the world today. And so not to follow the faith of your husband was radical, was controversial. It would be akin to a Muslim lady becoming a Christian and her husband still being Muslim. It's radical to say, no, I'm going to worship a different God. I'm going to follow a different path. And Peter says here, still submit to him. Don't follow his religion when you're following Jesus Christ, but he is still your husband. He's still your head. Don't follow him when it comes to faith, but submit to him. And in your godly actions, commend the Christian faith to him. Don't nag him to death and preach constantly at home about the Christian faith, but commend him with your godly conduct and attitude. It commends the Christian faith. But secondly, it pleases God. Verse 3, do not let your adorning be external, the braiding of hair, the wearing of gold, or the putting on of clothing, but let your adorning be the hidden person of the heart with the imperishable beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which in God's sight is very precious. See, what's precious to God? What's precious to God is a gentle and quiet spirit. What is precious to God is inner beauty. God says, wives, pursue inner beauty. That's freeing for women today, isn't it? In a culture and a world that says what you look like is what's most important. This is freeing. Pursue inner beauty, not outer beauty. Now, that doesn't mean that you can't use cosmetics. I did have a friend who said to me after reading this passage, right, that's it, I'm My wife is not going to use deodorant, aftershave, or cosmetics. I said, well, your wife might not, but I'm very happy for my wife too. It's not saying that. There's always a danger, isn't there, in the Christian faith, of legalism, of saying, well, you know, if you behave like this, do this, this, and this, then you're going to be good enough for God. And so we always want to make rules and regulations. It's not saying that. What it's saying is, don't be preoccupied with what you look like. That's what every magazine, women's magazine, seems to say on the front cover. What you look like is all important. And Peter's saying, God's saying, don't do that. It's what your character's like which is most important. Yes, you can wear nice things as long as they're modest and they're not extravagantly elegant. But be bothered about having a beautiful character. Be bothered about your inner beauty, which is imperishable because looks fade. But inner beauty never does. And the inner beauty God wants is gentleness. That's a fruit of the Spirit which we should all be cultivating, not just women. But there's something about the gentleness of a woman and a wife which God says is precious. It's beautiful. This is how I want you. This is the way I want you to look. And finally, this is how Christian women have always looked. That's what Peter says in verse 5. For this is how the holy women who hoped in God used to adorn themselves, by submitting to their husbands, as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord. And you are her children, if you do good and do not fear anything that is frightening. The frightening thing, I think, is the context of the husband not being a believer. And he's encouraging wives to stand firm in their faith and not be frightened of repercussions from their husband for them being a Christian. Do good, be gentle, submit, like Sarah did. One of the things, if you read the story of Sarah and Abraham, is you find very quickly that Sarah is not a shrinking violet. And she didn't get it all together, and she wasn't perfect. In fact, the context when she calls him Abraham Lord is really interesting. It's in Genesis 18, and God has appeared to Abraham and Sarah and said to Abraham, Abraham, you're going to have a son. And Sarah is in the tent next door, overhears it, and she laughs to herself. Is my Lord really going to give me a son? It's almost at the height of her lack of trust in God. And yet in that moment, she's submitting to her husband by calling him Lord. What she's saying is, I'm gonna trust my husband to lead me in trusting God. And that's the attitude a Christian wife should have. Trust God by submitting to your husband. And trust your husband to lead you in trusting God. So why should husbands live with their wives in an understanding way? Let me give you three reasons again why a husband should do that. First of all, a husband should live with his wife in an understanding way because she's different. That's what Peter says. He says, show honor to the woman as the weaker vessel. Now, that is really controversial, isn't it? To talk today about women being weaker. And Peter's not here talking about a weaker IQ. Or women have less ability, or women are less healthy, or women have weaker characters. It's not saying that at all. What he's saying is that by and large, women are physically weaker than men. That's why in Wimbledon, in a couple of weeks, women and men will compete in different competitions. That's why in the Olympics, women and men compete differently. That's why, sadly, most domestic abuse happens to women. And men need to understand that and treat women as valuable, protecting them, caring for them, treating them as somebody who is not just valuable, but precious. And to do that because they're different. But also, you're to work at understanding her because she is equal to you. Peter says, since, sure, honor to the woman as the weaker vessel, since they are heirs with you of the grace of life. One of the things the Bible is really clear from cover to cover is that men and women, although they are different, are equal. Equal in the sight of God because they were both created in the image of God as a man and a woman, but also equal in salvation. Husbands, your wife is a joint heir with you. She's of equal value and worth in the sight of God. Jesus Christ has equally died for her as he's died for you, and you and her will be together in heaven. And so you need to treat her as such. You shouldn't roll your eyes or make belittling comments, oh women, or make sexist remarks. That is out of place for a Christian husband. And finally, you should do this because your relationship with God is at stake. Peter finishes by saying this, so that, you to do all this, so that your prayers may not be hindered. You know, if you treat your wife badly, if you ignore your wife, then what Peter's saying is God will ignore you. That's how serious it is to treat your wife well. Because your prayers will be hindered when there are issues in your marriage. If you're someone who's struggling to pray, if you're a man who's struggling to pray at the moment, let me ask, how are things in your marriage? How are things with you honoring your wife? Living with her in an understanding way? You see, it's serious business to treat your wives well. But if you do that, if you live with your wife in an understanding way, wives, if you submit to your husbands, Christian couples, if you live like this, you will stick out as sore thumbs in the world. Because relationships in this world, in our culture, are not going well. And people don't treat each other with the respect and the love and the honor. They don't serve each other as this passage says we should. And so if you do that, people will notice. People will scratch their heads. People will ask you questions. If you are a wife who submits to her husband, people will ask you a lot of questions. And if you are a husband who seeks to draw out his wife and talk to her and understand her, people will think you're weird. Now, we don't do this naturally. Ever since the fall, this has not been the natural response of husbands and wives. You see, what happened at the fall? When Adam took the fruit from the tree and gave it to Eve, and Eve took the fruit and gave it to Adam, and they both ate it, and God brought a curse upon their relationship. And what did that curse involve? It involved this. A wife would want to manipulate her husband. Her desire would be for her husband. And her husband would want to control his wife, dominate her. That's the result of the fall. And that's naturally speaking in all our hearts. Wives want to manipulate, particularly through external beauty, and husbands, they want to control and domineer and treat their wives badly and use their strength to do that. And the Bible says that is the opposite to what Christian relationships should be like. So if that's our natural response, how do we go about doing it? How do we go about changing? How can wives live like Christian wives should? How can husbands live like Christian husbands should? And how can we stand out as different in our world? Well, it's by looking to Jesus Christ, by looking to a beautiful person. That's what Peter says in verse 1. He says, likewise, wives. Again in verse 7, likewise, husbands. Who are we to be like? We're to be like Jesus Christ. And at the end of chapter 2, we're told what Jesus Christ is like. He is a suffering servant. He was reviled and abused, even though he was the Son of God. And when he was insulted, he didn't insult back. When he was mistreated, he didn't call down a legion of angels to get his own back, even though he could. He submitted to God. He submitted to mistreatment. And he went and died on the cross. And he did that for you. He was willing to be insulted for you. He was willing to be mistreated for you. He was willing to do that so you could be forgiven for all the ways you haven't loved and served others and haven't loved and served God. You can be forgiven those things. You can be right with God again. And if you see what he's done for you, if you see his love and service for you, that as you see that, it will make you want to love and serve others. It will make you want to submit to the government, even if you don't agree. It will make you want to submit to your boss, even if he's not a good one. Why is it make you want to submit to your husbands, even if they're idiots at times? Husbands, it will make you want to serve your wife and be more bothered about her and her needs and wants than your own. And we do that because we are following a suffering Savior. A Savior who absorbed insult. A Savior who absorbed pain. A Savior who absorbed suffering. And as his followers, we're to do that too. The Apostle Paul says in Philippians 2, and I'll close with this, that we're to have, he says, let this mind be in you, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, did not count equality with God something to be grasped, but he made himself of no reputation. He took upon himself the form of a servant. He was born in the likeness of men, and being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, by submitting to the point of death, and even death on a horrid Roman cross. And therefore, God has highly exalted him and given him the name above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. If he is your Lord and Savior, let that mind be in you as well. And let's do that for his sake. Let me pray. Gracious Father, we admit that we find some of the teachings in the New Testament, in the Bible, hard to stomach because of our culture and the way we've been brought up and what we think naturally, and also because of the sinful desires of our own hearts. Lord, help us to change. We want to be loving people who love one another. We want to be loving husbands who love our wives, and wives, I'm sure, want to be loving and serve their husbands as well. We want to live differently because we belong to such a wonderful Savior. Help us to do that, Lord. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.